The Hannity kicking gonna stop. It's gonna start now. It's gonna run through the summer, and it's hot, hot, hot in public, if you will.
Going on, everybody. Happy Labor Day. Happy Labor Day. Happy Labor Day. My name is Chef Plum, and welcome to Plum Love Foods Live right here on Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn FM, iTunes. Maybe you're listening to this tomorrow. If that's the case, you're in the future, and you have traveled fast. Perhaps you had a DeLorean, 88.8 miles an hour. The flux capacitor was fluctuating, and you have made it all the way to the future. Maybe you have a time-traveling food truck, and you are time traveling your way to all the towns in the nation while you listen to radio from last night or the night before. See, now I'm confusing myself. What's going on, guys? Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live. My name is Chef Plum, and I am a professional chef. I am also a father. I am also a dude who likes beer. I am a dude with a candle lit right now like a man as I look straight ahead at my Steelers stoplight and saying, let's go Steelers, as we are officially 1 week away from football. For me, 6 days for everybody else. Looking forward to it. And guys, happy Labor Day. You know, in my book, it's the official end of summer. That makes me nervous. Like, I like summer. I've had a great summer. It's been a fantastic summer. A lot of cool work. I've met a lot of amazing, amazing people. You know, literally the last month and a half of summer for me has just been outstanding and just crazy. Like, the stuff that's happened, like, I was cooking on a boat. Like, I've been staying in the Hamptons. I was in New Orleans. Like, it's just getting crazy. And, you know, it's awesome. I'm very humbled by it. And it's just amazing to have the opportunities to do those sort of things. And it really is. It's great to have it. And I'm very, very humbled to have it. So I'd like to thank the things like this radio show help make things like that happen for me. Thank you to everybody for being a part of that. It means the world to me. So what's going on with you guys? I'll tell you what, Labor Day for me has been a lot of fun. We took 2 days off and actually went out with my family to the beach for a little while, which was great. Yeah, a little like family trip. I didn't cook a damn thing. I did a lot of fishing, which was fun. We did some fishing. We did some crabbing, which was a lot of fun. It was great, man. I think it's one of those things that as chefs, we kind of tend to forget about how important taking those days off and having that time is. For us, for as our family, it's just, you know, if everybody's important around us, I think it's important to take that time, to spend with your family, because we work so hard in the kitchen. We work such long hours. It's insane. So I think it's good to have that and take the time to do that. So I did, in a nutshell. That's what I did. And this is our second year doing it, where after the kids start school, we kind of go back, do one more little trip, a little bit longer one this time. It was a lot of fun. But back to the grind immediately. We got back tonight, had to get back to this show because I'm excited to talk to our guest tonight. He's a good buddy of mine. Former ECW heavyweight champion, former WWE hardcore champion, the one and only Justin Credible is going to be calling you. I tell you what, for all of you who know me personally and those of you listening to this very program, you know that I have quite the affinity for pro wrestling. You know, I don't live and die by it as much as I used to when I was younger, but I do like it a lot. And especially the age, like a generation ago, where guys like my friend Justin Credible was coming out tonight, was on. You know, he was phenomenal at what he did, traveled the entire world. And you know, we did an episode with him way back in season one. You can check that out if you wanted to, telling his whole story. We'll do a brief overview of his story, but I really want to focus on the travel aspect of what he did and what he does. He just recently retired, but he still does some booking. So it's fun to talk about what he's done. And not only that, but the man also went to culinary school, which is very kind of, it's an interesting kind of a comparison to see pro wrestling to being a chef, because he'll tell you, it's hard work, both of them. So maybe we can get him to give us a real answer tonight as to which one he thinks is harder. So it should be a lot of fun talking to him. He's a great guy. A guy who's been through a lot, a guy who I think the world of. So I can't wait to talk to him about food. Very positive conversation. It should be cool. You know, it's been a tough weekend for everybody. We gotta be serious. Let me turn the music down. Hang on. I hit the wrong button. Ha! It's a very, very serious conversation, you guys, ladies and gentlemen. For those of you who know, we here on the East Coast have been dealing with Hurricane Hermine. As it rambled its way up the eastern seaboard, thankfully I was near the seaboard because the hurricane with such crazy swells in the ocean had forced giant sharks to fly through the air. I was fortunate enough to be at the beach when some of said sharks were flying towards the beach, and I had to fight them off. I saved 7 babies, 2 old ladies, and a young man who had his feet buried in the sand. I saved them all from flying sharks in this hurricane. Everyone knows this hurricane is serious business. I think we can make it through it. I think that we'll survive. I think that we will persevere. Because when it comes down to it, the bottom line is this. There's no hurricane with the name Hermine that I'm afraid of. There's not going to be a human being on the planet with the name Hermine that I'm afraid of. I think if they had given this hurricane a different name, it would have kicked everybody's ass. It's all in the name, folks. It's all in the name. Now, oh, for everybody that affected, I hope you guys are doing well. I hope you guys are rebuilding and you're taking care of, this is a serious point, taking care of the damage. And I know a couple people lost their lives to it, not making light of that. But all it did this weekend was just tell us in the news how dangerous this hurricane was going to be, how we should all run, duck, and hide and get cover, and we're evacuating beaches and all this nonsense. I got to be honest with you. I was standing on a jetty that leads right out to the ocean, and I was fishing. And yeah, the waves were a little bit big, but that's really about it. The sun was shining. It was beautiful. It was high tide. My girls were catching crabs. It was great. They were out there. Really, honestly, it was what a bust, I guess. Like, I think that we should all become weathermen. That's what we should do, because I don't think you actually have to know what you're doing, which is terrible. I have weathermen who are friends of mine. I feel bad for saying it, but it's the truth, dude. Come on. Like, you scared us to death with this crazy hurricane coming up. You gave it this name, Hermine, which – honestly, like, wasn't that somebody in what movie was that? A Harry Potter movie or something? It's got to be similar, right? Maybe it's her cousin. That's what it is. Anyway, I guess that's what it is. It's terrible. Enough of my hurricane talk. I'm tired of hurricane talk. But I want to talk a little bit about cooking on the road. We're going to talk to Justin Credible about food on the road and eating on the road. But I want to talk about cooking on the road because with some of the stuff that we do with the Edible Project and Edible on the Road Project, you know, we set up kitchens in the most crazy places. The Adonis-like Red Leader spends his time on these shoots setting up kitchens and making so we can cook, and he does a great job at it. But it's amazing when you see how little you actually need to work with. It kind of blows my mind. You see a lot of these guys who set up these kitchens, you know, who have to have, you know, like, I got to have my sous vide machine. I got to have my grill. I got to have all that stuff. Listen, man, you don't need any of that. All I usually have is a burner. We just recently purchased an oven that we can use, a little oven. So we'll be doing a little bit of baking on the next round of shooting, which we're looking forward to, which is happening next weekend, as a matter of fact. We are going out to do Edible Long Island and East End, which is a great segue because, guys, thank you all. Honestly, it's been crazy. The feedback from the Edible East End video that we had, the first one we let out, the Montauk Brewing Company, one of my favorite breweries in the world, one of my favorite places in the world, has just been, it's exploded. It's amazing how many views it's gotten. I'm going to repost it this week too, just for fun. But wow, what a fantastic showing for that. I mean, just blows my mind. It was a great video, a lot of fun to make. Big shout out to my buddy, Ryan Starr. Ryan, you were great to hang out with. He does check this show out sometimes, so I know that he's listening. We appreciate it. It was a lot of fun. We should do it again. Should definitely do it again at some point. I don't know. Like maybe at the brewery. You know, what we're hoping is going to happen is that we're going to get edible Manhattan and edible Brooklyn. That's what we're hoping is going to happen. I think if we just keep pushing it, we might have a good opportunity to do that. So swig a beer for all the people checking out the Edible Magazine, Edible on the Road. Here we go. Thank you guys all for checking that out. A lot of fun. I tell you, the Edible Nutmegs, we have shot half of season two. We're going to shoot the second half of that here very soon as well. And we just hope to be able to take this further, man. We really, really do. And, you know, it's looking like there'll be a television show announcement for here in the tri-state area very, very soon. I think that all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted and you know how that goes. So we're hoping that we can let that cat out of the bag very, very soon. I just want to say it now because what if something falls apart, which is, you know, it's what tends to happen with these things. But we're looking forward to it. So it's tough, though, because it's a lot of work that goes into making these things happen. And having a lot of work to make these things happen, like I have to be able to stay awake. That's the tough part. And staying awake for me is not always easy. Let me tell you what I do to help stay awake. I love coffee. That's right. I love to have nice, heavy caffeine, nice dark roast, especially with the fall coming. I tell you what, in the morning for that little afternoon cup of coffee, it's fantastic. Let me tell you, who's got the best coffee I know of? Birds of a Feather Coffee Company. That's right. These guys are a small batch craft coffee roaster in Tampa, Florida. They're doing great things. Small batch. They're not roasting a whole lot of beans at once. They use the highest quality specialty grade beans. The beautiful blends are complex, but very approachable and always fresh. I tell you what, you get a bag of coffee from these guys from birdscoffeecompany.com. It's roasted, incredibly fresh. It's not been sitting on the coffee section at the grocery store for weeks at a time. It's incredibly fresh. You have to check it out. I want you to check out this one now, the Morning Lark Blend, all right? So it's not quite as dark as I like, but it does work great for the morning time. It's bright. It's got a little honeyed sweetness to it, kind of from the roasting, and just a hint of citrus and spice. It's beautiful for the morning. I think it's actually beautiful for the afternoon, too, to be honest with you. It's a great cup. It's the Morning Lark Blend from my friends over at Birds of a Feather Coffee Company out of Tampa, Florida. They're doing a great job. You can order them online at birdscoffeecompany.com. That's birdscoffeecompany.com. You can sign up for a monthly subscription so you never run out of your favorite coffee. That's right, a monthly subscription. So they're not even going to have to, you know, think about it. They'll just send it to you. You can start with a three-month subscription every other month. There's so many different ways to do it. It's going to be a fantastic way to get your coffee, all your favorites. You check these guys out. I promise you, you won't be disappointed. That's birdscoffeecompany.com from Birds of a Feather Coffee Company. They are fantastic. I highly, highly recommend you check these guys out. That's birdscoffeecompany.com. That was like a nice little segue there. I tell you what was great about it is I did it just right with the music, which was awesome because I the music ended right as I finished that part right there. I thought it was funny. All right, guys, check it out. You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live. My name is Chef Plum. I'm going to get my ducks in a row, and we're going to be right back with my good friend, the one, the only, just incredible, guys. Hang tight. Stay right there. I'll be right back.
You spend your days counting the hours you're awake, and when night comes
Right, guys, my knife is smarter than yours. That's right, smarter. I'm talking Ergo Chef Knives. The unique patented shape makes it more of an extension of your hand. The curved handle of an Ergo Chef Knives allows for smoother cutting and less fatigue in your hand. Listen, I use these knives every day, and they are fantastic. They're my go-to knives. If I use a normal knife, like a regular chef knife anymore, my hands start to hurt and feel achy. Trust me, guys, I'm not making this up. These knives are the jam. Check them out at ErgoChef.com. That's ErgoChef.com. And tell them Chef Plum sent you by using the promo code PLUM15OFF and get 15% off your purchase. Mike and Scott. Guys, coming back live right here to Plum Love Foods Live. I am sitting here at the bar, just pop the top on a cold one. Happy Labor Day, guys. Everything's going fantastic here. You know, it's funny. I always try to think of a great introduction for people when I have them on the show. And this man, you think of people in your life that you get to meet that maybe you held on a pedestal, guys that you thought were just awesome. And I tell you what, in my heyday of being a pro wrestling fan, this man was captivating. This man was, I mean, he could just grab a hold of the audience and make them hate him. And to me, that is a skill in itself. And then you meet the guy in person, and he honestly is one of the sweetest guys you'll ever meet. Ladies and gentlemen, my good friend, former ECW heavyweight champion and WWE hardcore champion, the one, the only, my man, Justin Decredible. Brother, what's happening?
What's going on, my friend? How are you?
I am fantastic. I got social distortion on right now. It's a little bit loud. I apologize. It's just kind of one of those things that makes me think of you a little bit.
Oh, man, it's been great. How's your holiday weekend going, man?
You know, man, it was great. I was just saying in the intro, I took a little breather. We took my kids out to the beach. I took 2 days off this week, and we went out and spent some time together with the family. It was much needed. But now it's back to the grind, brother. I'll tell you what, this hurricane that everyone was talking about, thank God I was at the beach because I fought off 5 sharks and saved 7 babies from the rising tide.
Wow, that's crazy. I'm actually outside right now that you said that. I went outside on my deck to be, and we're still getting like heavy winds over here. And I'm from Waterbury, Connecticut, so we're still getting some crazy winds over here. But, you know, it's kind of cool. It just, you know. It's what it is, man. God, but I'm glad everything.
It's beautiful
is cool.
Outside
cool.
Right now.
Oh, it's gorgeous, man. You know, and I love this too. It kind of reminds you about nature, and I'm kind of one of those guys that enjoy nature and love all that kind of stuff. So it's all good, man.
But yeah, no doubt, man. That was awesome. It was much needed, man. I've been working my ass off, as you know, here lately, and it was a lot of fun to go do it. But honestly, you know, it's a great comparison if you think about it. Weathermen and pro wrestling. I mean, it's kind of the same thing, right? Isn't being a weatherman just a fucking work?
Yeah, pretty much. I'd love to have that gig. At least I wouldn't have to take any bumps, man. Even though I'm retired, I'd love to be a weatherman. Just sit there and just, bro. You really? I don't. I loved. I used to love to watch the news. Well, you can't tell
right.
me that the guys that predict the news know anything that's going on.
No.
Anything. That's going on. And if you can hear any interference right now on the phone, that's the wind blowing right on my speaker. It's funny. It's actually. I won't cuss. I have a foul mouth. I'm sorry, folks.
That's all right.
It's blowing. It's it's blowing
you know,
really hard. Actually, the winds.
Well,
winds
be careful.
I'm
gonna blow you over, man.
No, I'm too fat.
That's,
I'm
geez,
too fat.
Stop it.
I
hey,
like
you can still throw, you can still throw a super kick though.
Yeah, well, I can still get my leg up, man. That's one thing I can do. I can still get my leg up, hit somebody in the jaw, so I'm cool with that.
There you
42
go.
And
there
fat.
You
42 and fat, brother.
Well, well, listen, it's funny to say that. I'm starting next. Starting tomorrow is my new workout regimen. I'm not doing any beer. I'll save beer for football, just one day a week. And I'm going to go back hard on my DDP yoga, and I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to compound it all together
that's
and see
awesome.
What happens for 6 weeks.
That's
the plan.
Brother, that's the best thing you can do. And my only suggestion to you that worked extremely well for me when I was in the best of shapes was only the sugars. It wasn't necessarily the carbohydrates. I mean, I ate mostly vegetables and lean meats. Chicken, fish, and you know, and then I enjoyed my steaks and stuff, but you know, but it's all about the sugar. If you cut out sugar in your life, it's amazing how much progress you will do. It really is. And just,
wow.
As far as everything, you know, yeah, that's what made the difference. Because like, I'll be honest, I'm in, you know, in recovery, and when I got out of rehab, I was drinking coffee like it was going out of style. And I spoke to Diamond Dallas Page, the creator of DDP Yoga. And, you know, Dallas was like, cut off all your sugars as much as you can. So instead of using sugars, I was using, you know, like Activia, like the all-natural sweetener sort of for your coffees or whatever. And I really tried to cut it out. And then I started to rip up. So to me, that was like, you know, stay with your veggies, you know, and your clean meats. And, dude, it was... That was the key, you know. So anyways, but
that's
yeah,
interesting,
I digress. Yeah,
I should give it a good try. That's a good idea.
Yeah, sugar's the key.
I just like
stay away.
I just like chocolate. I just like chocolate, dude. That's my problem.
I know.
I like
know.
Chocolate.
I'm
and beer.
A, dude, I'm fat. I'm fat. I love all foods, man. I can't help it. That's
we
why
we should do it together, man.
Today. Yeah, we should. Well, I'm
we should do it together.
I'm yours.
You make a
I'm
you
yours.
Make a comeback. We'll start a new tag team, the Impact Players version 2. We'll go for the tag titles. You and I will be 40-some years old and still kicking the llama's ass. Let's do it.
We just got to bring kendo sticks and, like, spikes into the ring and just kill people. That's all.
Dude,
you know.
Look, I want to I want to tell you something really quick. I wasn't going to focus this whole conversation on wrestling. I can't help it, though. But I wanted to ask you a question. I saw a GIF or a GIF this morning on Twitter. And it was it was when the ECW came back, the WWE did it. I think I was.
I know where you're going.
Do you know? Well, bro, I think I was the only human being on the planet that actually dug it. But anyway, came back, and so they did the pay-per-view, and it was Lance Storm and Jericho, right?
Yes, yes.
And you came out to do a big Impact Players Reunion, and you hit Jericho with that fucking kendo stick, dude. And I swear to, like, I felt you let me hold your kendo stick. I'm like, that had to hurt. I mean, this shit bent on his head, dude.
It did. You want to know why? And you want to know why? And Lance actually scolded me on Twitter, and he actually deleted some of his tweets towards me publicly.
No way.
Watch, listen to this. Only because Chris and Lance were the year before me at the Hart Brothers school.
Yeah.
So I had a relationship with Chris Jericho before anybody in the world knew he was Chris Jericho.
Right.
We were all bums. He was bouncing at a nightclub in Calgary, and I was being trained, and he was there the year before me. We all had no money, starving, whatever. And every time I wrestled him, he was the stiffest prick in the world. I mean, he would kick you as hard as you could. Oh, fuck yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
He was just stiff as hell. And he would hurt. He would hurt me. Like, he would hit me hard.
Wow.
So I was like, this is my chance, you son of a gun. and I swang for the fences. I'm like, this is my shot. And this is like, it's, you know what I mean? And I gave it to him, and he came backstage, and Lance got mad at me for this. Publicly, he got mad at me for saying, I said, he cried like a little bitch. And he got, and Lance is like, well, you shouldn't say that. And I'm like, hey, man, he cried like a little bitch.
ECW, bitch.
So, you know, hey, welcome.
I mean, so, but you didn't bust his head open, though, did you?
No. I didn't mean to be. It wasn't intentional. You're in the heat of the moment. It really wasn't intentional. But to me, in my mind, it was almost like, hey, you give what you get, you know. It is what it is. He's obviously far more successful than I am. And God bless him. I have no ill will towards him. I wish him nothing but the best and success. But it
you
was,
lit him up
it
pretty
was
good,
fun.
You lit him up pretty good.
He cried like a girl. It was great. Now, it was so great.
Was that one of your favorite favorite pops or favorite? Because I tell you what, like I completely I was watching it live when it happened. You know, that was I loved it. And you came running out, and I flipped. I was like, holy shit, yeah. You came running down. Oh, it was amazing.
It was a great moment, but it wasn't one of my best. I also came out later in the main event. It was like Dreamer Funk against Sandman Raven, and both me and Lance, we did our pile drivers on barbed wire too. I think I barbed wired Dreamer or whatever, but it wasn't a big, I mean, to me, it wasn't, even though Vince, it was just so obvious I know a lot of people who listen to food and stuff and are into this for the food. Vince McMahon wasn't really familiar with our product. And,
really?
You know, even going out there, he would ask me questions like right before I'm going out there, like, who is this and why is this happening? So he could give cues.
He knew you very well.
Of course. Oh, yeah. I've had a relationship with Vince McMahon since I was 19. I'm 42.
Yeah.
You know, and I still to this day. No, I would have been in. If I didn't have loyalty to Vince McMahon, I would be involved in their class action lawsuit right now.
Yeah.
About concussions, you know. But I'm very faithful, to a fault, to the person that gave me my first break, you know. Right. But anyways, it's all positive. I'm a very blessed individual who got to live his dream. And now I'm trying to find a new dream, you know. Food
well,
is,
I'll tell you
is
what,
a passion, you know. But unfortunately,
I had to, of course, not a lot of money in food. Well, it depends on how you get into it, man. You gotta the trouble is that you gotta work your way into it, and then you can make you can do a nice living for yourself. You work your way into it. But I had to bring that up.
Of course, I saw that.
But that little gif I saw today, I was like, holy shit, I got to ask Justin about that when I talked to him, because I didn't realize you hit him that fucking hard. Anyway, all that aside, but it's funny because you have been all over the world, which is, you know, it's one of the funnest things I love talking to you about. I mean, you've been fucking everywhere with your career, and, you know, just eating on the road to me is, you know, while trying to maintain, because, you know, you were in fantastic shape, and like you had to look, in the business you're in, you had to look good. Had to be hard to always be able to eat clean and figure out how to, you know, eat lean proteins and things like that, especially when you're traveling.
It was very challenging, especially as much as we would travel overseas. You would stay in hotels and stuff, and they would do the best they could to accommodate American style, but you know, your American style foods for who your guests are, but at the same extent, we're not just American people who will eat, you know, just a hamburger. We're
right.
You know, I hate this. I don't like to use the word professional athletes because what we do is not real. It's more of a performance art, but nonetheless, it is athletics. And it was hard. I mean, it's like, you know, you'd ask for clean chicken breast, but it would be the driest piece of chicken you could possibly get. And it was horrible. It was not fun. And, you know, as you know, better than I certainly do, even though I am, you know, I do watch everything on all food networks and channels. I adore culinary. But you can make healthy foods taste good. And they just would just give you plain chicken, the plainest chicken, or, you know, stuff like that. And like a dried baked potato that you could throw at somebody and probably break their car window. So it was, you know, it was a learning experience. But yeah, you really had to focus. And it is very challenging. I mean, because, you know, you're finished with your television taping at midnight. I mean, Monday Night Raw goes off the air at 11 p.m. for example.
Yeah.
If all of, you know, if you guys, you know, whoever's listening that understands that, it's on from 8 to 11 live every Monday. We'd get off at 11 and, you know, get dressed, shower up, and go to the next town. So in between driving, we would drive ourselves. We don't get these fancy flights or buses. We drive ourselves in our rental cars to our next town, and we have to find a place that's open, period. Not to mention a place that's healthy. So you usually end up at a Denny's or a, you know, Waffle House or whatever, you know, whatever. And it's very hard to make conscious culinary decisions to your health, you know. So it was rough, you know. It's easier when you're at home. And like recently when I was on the road coming out of home, I would just, you know, make my own, you know, make my own veggies.
You're taking it with you.
You know, grill a piece of fish or chicken or steak even. And, you know, Tupperware it and bring it on the road with me, because I knew later on that it was better than a Big Mac or something on the road, you know?
Of course. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, 100%. And I want to just go back really quick, and I'm going to disagree slightly with you and say that you actually are an athlete for sure. I mean, you can take these guys – it pick any football player you want. I'm a Giants Steelers fan. Antonio Brown, they're the best wide receiver in football, if I do say so myself.
I agree. I agree with you.
I'll tell you what, he takes 5 bumps in a ring, he'll never do it again.
Probably. Yeah.
He's an incredible, he's in phenomenal shape, but he still will take 5 bumps in a ring. Not going to happen.
Yeah.
So don't downplay that.
Yeah. I know. I just, you know, I guess fans are just so used to, or I should say more of the general public is just so used to acknowledging what sports entertainment, as they call it. I hate calling it that.
Yeah.
I call it pro wrestling. They call it sports entertainment. Regardless, it is a very physical business, regardless if the outcomes are predetermined or not. You know, and I respect, you know, football is my favorite sport. I love the NFL.
Right.
I can't wait till it starts, you know, college football this weekend. Forget about it.
Yeah.
But we are athletes in a sense. And it's very, you know, but when you see a guy like Brock Lesnar, and I started with Brock, I was there when I helped train with Brock, not like train him. Like be his punching bag.
Right. Right. Yes.
You know, and he wouldn't hurt me, but he was just so, God, such a, the inner strength. I mean, he's a beast, you know, and
how much, how many calories do you think a male like that consumes a day?
I don't know, a lot, probably 5,000. And all I would know is, and this is a true story. When he was in catering, we always had catering. When Brock was in catering and he farted, you would see the whole room would clear up. So that's how much protein that man took in. And I'm not I'm dead serious. I mean, it's funny, but
that's a great story.
But it's true. It's very true. I mean, but you know, he was just, you know, he's a kind soul, actually. You know, a lot of, even UFC, you know, UFC is very real. Don't get me wrong, but, you know,
right.
A lot of the promotion going into it is also very scripted.
Oh, of course.
you know, it's like boxing. It's no different than boxing. Are they competing, you know, for real? Yes, they are. You know, they're really competing. When it's, you know, the bell rings, they're in the octagon, they're competing for real. But, the when they're talking trash or whatever, it's all to sell tickets.
And, so listen, you brought up UFC, ahead, man, ahead. And just no. I got to ask you, obviously, because we talk some pop culture stuff, obviously, on the show as well. CM Punk is, you know the guy. You've had matches with him.
Yeah.
I think his first official televised match was with you. Saturday night, man. He's got his first debut match against what's that guy's name? I can't think of his name now. Anyway. His first match.
I know you're talking about, but yeah.
What do you think?
I'm nervous for him, quite frankly.
Yeah.
I'm nervous for him. I don't doubt his fighting spirit, honestly. I don't doubt that.
He's a tough guy.
Tough as nails. But also, it's just, man, I don't know. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's my certain experience. But I wish you could post this up on a podcast somewhere. I have a picture somewhere of me, Stone Cold. We were traveling together. Yeah. And there's a picture of a 15-year-old Phil Brooks at the hotel.
No way.
In Chicago. Yeah. Yeah. And we're already in the bit, you know, me and Steve were traveling together.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's Punk, you know, at 15, just wanting a photo op, and got the picture, and the fan sent it to me. I got it somewhere. I actually,
you were cool to him, right?
Oh, me and Steve?
You were cool to see him, Punk or Phil Brooks.
Me and Punk are cool as shit. Yeah, I love Punk. But
and when he was 15, that picture.
Oh yeah, I was 19.
Yeah.
So I was just happy to, you know, wow, somebody likes me. That's awesome. Right. You know, I don't like to say this too much, but the night I put him over in his first pro wrestling match for WWE, he cried in my arms, like literally cried.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, absolutely. I won't deny, and I don't think he would deny that, because it was his dream to finally make it.
Yeah.
You know, and I just think at his age, and not to deny his, like, again, his spirit, his ability, I'm not denying anything, but I know how I feel, man, physically, from all the wear and tear. And he's actually, quite frankly, done more than I have on a full-time schedule, because I got, you know, fired a couple times, and I had some times where I didn't wrestle for, you know, a couple of months at a time, where he went all out. So, I hope he does what he has to do. But I also think, too, from a promotional standpoint, Dana White's going to do what he knows is good for business. And it's not too different from what Vince McMahon does, what's good for business. But I think Punk will come out on top. If it does, if he doesn't, then I'll be shocked. But it'll definitely
Mickey Gale is who he's fighting.
It'll be a spectacle. I'll watch. I'm watching. You know what? Dana White already won. You know, because everybody's going to tune in. Everybody's going to tune in. And I wish Punk the best. And I hope he kicks ass, dude. And God bless him. You know, I love him. He's always been a wonderful guy to me. And he's a super sweet guy, even though sometimes he comes off as bitter. And I don't blame him, because this business makes you very bitter. It does. It drives you crazy. You know, lesser and greater guys have lost their minds to this fucking business. So, you know, he's my boy, and I wish him the best. You know, and I think he'll do well.
You know, I think that he has a pretty good chance of pulling it off, because I think that people are downplaying how much being in front of an audience that big can affect you.
Yeah.
I think I think it's being downplayed. No one's even talking about that as much as they should be. Punk's done it hundreds of times.
In front of 70,000-80,000 people.
That's where I was going. 80,000 people. Mickey Gale has fought in front of what? 1,000 people?
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, I did one WrestleMania. It was WrestleMania 17. Me and X-Pac, Sean Waltman, we opened the show. And to look out at the Houston Astrodome It didn't even look real. It didn't even look real. You just, it looked like how you know, you go out to the Atlantic Ocean, for example, and just look out into the ocean, and it was a sea of people, and they're focusing on you. Boy, is that not something that'll just grab you by the throat, you know, take your breath away. And, you know, then the lights are on you. You know, I mean, it's a, you know, it's different when there's a football game going on. You know, there's a whole group of guys in helmets and pads, and they're looking at the quarterbacks. But when you're walking down that ramp, and I know it's not a real sport, but, you know, you're doing your little strut down the ring, and that light's on you, and there's 70,000 people just staring at you, and you're like, wow, I arrived. I did my dream. That's all I wanted. I just wanted one WrestleMania. I didn't want to be World Heavyweight Champion at WrestleMania. I just wanted to be at one.
Well, you got that.
In one. I got it. I got to be a world champion. Actually, my ECW run was the most important time in my life, and it still is the one I cherish the most. It was the best I ever was in the ring physically, and to me, nothing will ever beat that.
That was a damn good time for wrestling, man.
It was some of the best, and some of the best in the world. Paul Heyman, Gabe Sapolsky, mm-hmm. who books his own company today. I think it's Evolve.
Yeah.
And he's part of a lot of – he said to me personally that was the best run of any ECW world champion as far as house shows and every night, every single night, giving it everything you got and putting on the best match. And to put on the best match at an ECW show for fans who are listening to the podcast who don't know, you're going out there, the first match, you're getting tables, ladders, and chairs and blood. And then I'm going on, oh, by the way, 3.5 hours later, and I have to have a scientific wrestling match. And I got to have a scientific wrestling match.
Yes.
So it was very challenging, you know. And I said that to Paul. I got mad one day. You know, I was trying to pull my I want to be HBK Shawn Michaels trip. Oh, like, Jesus. Yo, you know, tell these guys, you know, they shouldn't be doing this stuff. And all Paul said to me was, well, if you can't close the show, then you shouldn't be closing the show.
Oh, so shit. And you're like, huh, okay.
I'm like, damn, okay. So I just, you know, but didn't do, you know, it was just, it made you, he did it on purpose. He knew what he was doing. He was motivating my inner self to propel to a different level. And it worked. You know, I worked as hard as I could, and it was wonderful times in professional wrestling. And unfortunately, I hate to say it, but times we'll never see again.
No.
You
never know. You never know.
We don't.
I mean, no one could have predicted that time to begin with.
No. Well, you know, it is just amazing to me. It's almost, see, Hunter, oh, God, we're going all the way wrestling. Damn, I don't want
to. I know. That's okay. That's cool.
But, you know, it's almost like back then when ECW came to prominence, it was because WWE was so corny with all the cartoonish. Yeah. Even myself, Aldo Montoya.
That's why you left.
The Portuguese Man of War. Yes, why I left.
that was a great character. Bob,
I liked it. I didn't mind it. Sparky Plug, Adam Bomb, all those corny characters in WCW was doing the same. So it just, what Paul did was quite frankly, not gold. He just figured, heck, let's bring it back to what it really was supposed to be. You know, he took a little bit of Memphis, a little bit of that, you know, FMW. This is a little obscure. I'm going real obscure. But FMW was doing those death matches.
Japanese stuff.
And he just, you know, brought in legends like Terry Funk and everybody else who needed a job in between to get, you know, and it just was magic because fans were sick of that stuff. They were getting smart. They wanted more. They wanted what pro wrestling was. And now, unfortunately, Vince has cornered the market. Billy Corgan now is head president of TNA, and I'm a friend of Billy's. It's amazing. I can't get a job, dude. It's amazing, dude. You could have friends. You could be friends with anybody in the business. But when it comes down to business, you're beat no matter what. I'll get back. I was backstage. I was on stage for him and Marilyn Manson, literally on stage in his locker room. We talked the whole night, chilling. Call him for a job. I don't know. Nothing. It's just so competitive. And I'm not dissing him for saying that, because you can't give everybody a job. You can't give all your buddies a job. It's just financially not prudent, you know. But it's just, man, it's just crazy. There's just, unfortunately, the world we live in today with the internet and with social media and with everything on the WWE network at your fingertips, YouTube, Twitter, you know, and I'm very strong in social media, or I try to be as strong as I can. It's very difficult to actually make a dent. And, I think we all have to figure out how to, as well as musicians, because I'm friends with very many professional musicians who need to monetize their work. You know, a lot of guys aren't even putting out fresh music anymore. They just tour.
You know, well, musicians are hard now. It's hard to make money playing music now. It's really hard to do.
It's horrific. And I don't even, and just to quote, I don't know these guys at all. It's a complete mark. I'm just a fan of this band, 30 Seconds to Mars, which is Jared Leto, the actor, Shannon Leto, his brother, and another guy, Tomo. And they're an amazing, amazing alternative band who's put out some amazing music. And I went to just see them as a fan. I didn't have any connections. I bought a ticket. And they're literally, you know, I wanted to buy a shirt. And my wife said, no, there's nothing cool. She's like, but they're signing their CDs after the show. It's like $15. I'm like, there's no way they're really going to. It's probably like some jabrones signing their stuff. It was them. You know, like, they're out there hustling their merchandise to make their
money. You would do the same thing, wouldn't you? It'd be you signing it,
right? That's what I do. Well, I do that. You know, that's what we do. But that's how competitive the market has become, as far as, you know, what is available on social media and, you know, just everything, you know. It's like, if you can get it for free, why are you going to spend $15 like we used to? At the record stores,
you know, the record store, right?
And Goody. I used to love Tuesdays because I used to go get my records,
all the new stuff came out,
my tapes, my CDs, you know, and
that's stuff would come out.
As a music fan, I miss that stuff, and but I'm just talking about monetizing artists, athletes, you know, what you do, everything. It's just
it's a different world,
get
man.
It for free. It's hard when you can get it for free. The internet is a blessing and a curse, put it that way. You know?
Well, so just to bring it back to the food stuff, man, you were talking about when you were the ECW champ, and you know, you've had success there. You had success, obviously, with WWE as well. I mean, and then even spend a little time with TNA. Dude, tell me the difference between catering for those three. Like, I gotta imagine, even ECW at its peak, you know, you're heavyweight champion. Like, catering is probably pretty good then, right?
Yeah, no, it was always good, you know. But they were very, at those times, it was very short. It's not what it was today. I mean, I think we've made strides in the culinary world so much, because back then, and I'm talking about late '90s, early 2000s, it was. Not intentionally, but dried up chicken breast, pasta for your carbs, you know, salad, what have you, you know. And now I think we've grown to, you know, the gluten-free stuff, you know, better ways to flavor foods, you know, just.
I think WWE has a nutritionist on staff. I think they have a nutritionist on staff now.
Do. Yeah. Dude, these guys are so spoiled. It's not even funny compared to what we had. We'd only have catering on television days.
Not even for house shows.
Yeah. No, not for the house shows. Not at all. We would have, you know, we'd have to pick up Mickey D's or whatever was on the way, you know. And today these guys will get, you know, meals that are not so, you know, healthy but tasteful. I mean, I myself am. I love to cook. You know, I'm an amateur progressing, you know, my own little chef, and I love to cook, and I know how to use vegetables and certain spices, simple cilantros and tomato paste and little things that will give flavor to something as bland as just throwing a dry chicken breast on the grill. You know, whatever. Right. You could, you know, limes, garlics, whatever. Oh, I'll use white wine. I do whatever, you know.
And it's important to season your food. Go ahead. I know where you're going. Go ahead and say it. Tell them about it.
Bon Jovi?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. I know that's where you're going. Go for it. Tell them about it.
No, it's not a big deal. I just, you know, I was very shocked and honored because my wife's from Jersey, and she's born across town from John Bon Jovi, the John Bon Jovi, and his family reached out to me to help promote their new signature sauce. And I actually tried it, and I know how Chef feels about this, and I agree. You know, no respectable chef would use canned sauce. And yes, I do get it. I get it. But it really is good. It's a very tasty sauce. And it's gluten-free. It's all natural, believe it or not. It really is. And they're putting out a wonderful product. I use it. It's really cool. And I do, but I still make my own sauce. Don't get it twisted. Still can make my own sauce. It's really good. So just if you come across it, they sell it at Target. So it's Bon Jovi, but it's spelled their real name, Bon Jovi.
It's a G, right?
Yeah. So not, you know what I'm saying. So I had.
It's good stuff.
Out. Well, they're sending it to me for free, so I got to put them over.
there you go. There you go.
Chef, it is good.
I'm listening.
You would right. Like it. On a quick day, you got to put something out for the kids. Come on now. You want us to make a quick chicken parm, you know, bread a couple cutlets, throw that on, a little mozzarella. Come on. It's easy.
Don't say mozzarella. You know we had this conversation. It's mozzarella fucking cheese. Stop saying mozzarella.
It's mozzarella. It's mozzarella.
Oh, Jesus.
My wife, I come from an Italian background.
Oh, my toes are curling.
Come on, kid. You know it, kid.
Hey, look here, man. I think it's kind of a fun little fact about you that I've always thought was so interesting, man. You went to culinary school.
For a minute, yes, I did. Yes, I did.
And you got your ass handed to you.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Talk about that for a second.
Well, I went there with every ounce of respect and willingness to do it. Quite frankly, the only reason I failed and I didn't complete was I didn't get, it's embarrassing. I didn't get student aid, and I was like, they wanted $1,000 a month for me.
Yeah, it was a rough time.
I did it for a minute, and I really couldn't keep up, but I learned a little bit, and I mean, I've cooked. I was a line cook for Olive Garden, 99 restaurants, a couple of places locally in Connecticut, some fine dining places, yeah. Actually, just a regular line cook, prep cook. And man, right. That stuff is intense. That's no joke. That is no joke. You know, it really isn't, man. It's tell you what, that's work that not everybody is cut out for, man. You know,
well, I think what people don't understand is how much stamina is actually required to be a cook, to be in a kitchen. I mean, it's not a pleasant place to stand for 10 hours. I mean, it's a long time, and it's a long day, and it's physical work. There's no sitting down. You're not sitting down. None of that should happen. You're standing up the entire fucking time. And God forbid, don't ask for a fucking break.
Forget it. And I'm a smoker, too, so it drove me out of control. And and you want to know how I lost? I'll tell you the exact place. Waterbury Brass Mills Mall, Olive Garden. That was one of my first cooking experiences after my short stint in culinary school. He wasn't even the head chef. He was by far the head chef. He was just like the whoever was in charge of the line cooks at the time. He was a little
kitchen manager
guy. Oh, dude, I started, there were pans being thrown backstage. There was shit being thrown, and that was it for me. I'm like, you little, and I won't even. Wow, this was, I almost got ethnic. It wow. It was just.
Super,
it was
you,
just crazy,
you super kicked his ass.
I just lost my. I lost my mind, man. It's like, dude, are you kidding me? I'm working as hard as I can. Do you know who I am? Like, respect me for a second. And I get it,
right,
dude, but it wasn't even busy. It was like a Wednesday. There's nobody there, and you're, like, being a douche to me, you know, and I just wanted to choke a bitch, you know.
Yeah.
It just gets very intense out there, and I get it. I mean, you got to, you know, when it's Friday, Saturday night, you got to get to – it's not about making the food. You got to prep the food. You got to get it out on time with the other items that coincide with the food, whether you got the grill, you got the oven, or I mean, God, what am I telling you? You're the chef. But, you know, but it's like you're doing your best, and it's very, it's not an easy job. It's probably one of the most painstaking jobs around. You know, it's
well, I think
really
what people don't
easy.
Understand is how much stamina it actually takes. I was just in New Orleans for a big chef's event, the farm to table chef's event. It happens once a year in New Orleans, and myself and my sous chef Eric were down there, and it was, I mean, it was 2 14-hour days, bro. We prepped for 500 people, him and I. That's
wow.
it. 500
wow.
people.
Wow.
And then
wow.
not only that, then brother, the event happens, and now I have to talk to every single person out of those 500 that comes to the event. I now have to talk to
sure.
them, explain the dish,
sure.
put the dish over. You know, it's all
wow.
show. It's all show. Every single
wow.
group. And bro, let me tell you what, you could have walked in that conference center, and you know me, who was the loudest motherfucker in there? It was me. Who was getting
oh,
the most
Lord.
Laughs? It was me. I was
sure.
fucking,
yeah.
it was nonstop. No one there would ever know that I just worked 28 hours straight. None of them had
but
any fucking
that's
idea.
What it takes a special kind of person to do that. It's not cut
my
out
sous chef
everybody.
Thinks I'm a robot. He's like, you are not
yeah.
real. You're not a human. Because not only
yeah,
that, then we got done, and then I'm like, let's go to Bourbon Street. He's like, how the fuck are you still standing?
Yeah, I would just want to. I just want a beer. I actually, I'd want a bottle and just go home, go to the hotel.
Ah, fuck that.
It's hard.
You gotta have the victory dance, brother. Victory dance. If you don't drink, don't have the victory dance, it'll fuck up everything the next time.
I know, but man, it is though. People don't realize how special. You guys are, you know, I don't consider myself anywhere close, even though, see, that's the thing, is amateur home cook chefs or people that think, oh, I can cook. I can throw down some good stuff, quality stuff.
Yeah.
I'll go to the good markets, buy good food, Whole Foods, whatever. But I got my time. I got time, you know.
Yeah.
I'll do it on my time. But when you're cooking for a crowd of people, and it's delivered on a dime, and it has to all go out properly at the same time. And, you know, it's no joke. It's really, it's different cooking for a family of six than a family of 500, you know?
But let me tell you something, man.
It all
when
out.
It works, there's not a better
oh,
feeling
beautiful.
In the world. It's like, it's
yeah.
like walking out at WrestleMania. That's what it is for us. It's like being able to walk
yeah,
out
no, I,
and have
I,
those
I can
people
imagine.
Stare at you.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, man.
But
a whole other way to take this. So there's lots of shows now. The Food Network is big on these quote amateur cook shows. You know, Amateur Chopped or you know, Worst
yeah.
Cooks in America, which really isn't the Worst Cooks. It's just the name of the fucking show. Shows like that,
sure.
Dude. You and I have talked food a lot, and I know you cook. You love to cook food. But any thoughts on giving one of those a try? Like looking it up and saying, you know what, let's do it. It would be compelling
no.
television, I still think, to this day, to have, you know, here's the former WWE heavyweight champion, and he's trying to fucking make a risotto. It'd be amazing.
I know, but I just don't like that. I don't even want to play with that shit, man. With television, I'm just so over it. I guess I have a very bad taste in my mouth because I know what it's all about. You've had success. In it, and I respect everything you've done. I've watched all your stuff, from grocery games to what you're doing now with the, you know, with television, and that's wonderful. I just
yeah.
To me, it's I don't know. I don't have. I'm at a point where I'm that grumpy old man, you know, where
yeah,
it's like
but...
stay off my lawn, kid. You don't know what I
did. It would be awesome, though. Look, you know, I'd be cheering you on.
But it's such a work, too, though. You know it's such a work.
Yes, it is. Well, some of them are. Some of them aren't. But some of them are, yes. Yes, I would agree with that.
But you know what I mean. It's who, I you know, sometimes, you know.
Brother, I don't think we've talked since. I don't think we've talked since. I did Cutthroat Kitchen. And did I, have we talked since I did? They pulled me aside.
No, I have no idea. And I had no idea.
Dude, they pulled me aside. And in layman's, just to make to sound, they asked me to be the bad guy. They pulled me aside and said, hey, would you be the bad guy? I said, you want me to be the heel? Because other people weren't talking.
Exactly.
And I was like, so you want me to go out here and you want me just to run my mouth? And so they were like, yeah. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, that's easy. but you're also... You could run your mouth because you know how to do that part of the performance, but you're right. Also a very talented chef, where wow. I am not. Where I am,
but I think that you have a good grasp, though.
I certainly do. Oh absolutely, I have a grasp, absolutely. But could I perform? You know, could I go on Grocery Games and win it like you? Absolutely not. Ooh.
No, you know, but you could probably, I think you could definitely make a nice showing for yourself on, there's a show called Worst Cooks in America, and it's not always about being the worst cook, it's just the name of the fucking show.
Of course, it's a gimmick.
Yeah, you could be on that show, and immediate, like, if you went on there, and not you, but Just Incredible went on there.
Right.
It would be not the real sweet guy.
No.
I want Just Incredible. Yes, I want Just Incredible on Food Network. You know how amazing that would be?
I mean, it would be fun. It would be cool. I would just be a complete disaster. I'd be a car crash.
I'd be a car crash. No. And people, but no, you wouldn't be. You actually would make halfway decent food, and that'd be your thing. And you would put that food out, and when you did, you would talk shit every time you put a plate down. You would cut a promo on every motherfucker in there after you put that plate down.
Plum, I really wish I could cook for you. I'm really not a bad chef. I'm not a bad cook. That's what I'm saying.
Let's do this.
I refuse to use the word chef because that comes with a lot of practice and skill. I'm not a chef.
I respect
I'm a cook.
That.
And no, it's the truth. Chefs are special people. It is. I know. Oh, believe me, I know. I respect. I know where my place is, but it's, you know, I put out some, you know, again, at the home, on my own time, at my speed. I put out a damn good meal. Brother, you know what I did? Dude, you know what I did the other? I got this seafood medley, made my own. Okay. I used, and I'm not being a whore for Bon Jovi, but I used the Bon Jovi sauce for real. I made my own pizza dough, swear to God, like from scratch. And then I did use their sauce. Yes, I'm being cheap and whorish, but fresh. And I got mozzarella, but then I cut fresh
mozzarella,
like real
mozzarella.
No, mozzarella.
Like, fucked up. You're like, Portuguese. Really, like, you don't say that.
My wife says it, so I gotta say it. But the fresh one, you know what I'm saying? Not like just the shredded ones, like the real big ones. But you know, I did the like garlic, onions, etc. Sauteed it, and then like that was like with the cheese, Southwest. Put it in, brother. That was the bomb. That was the bomb. Very good, dude. Like a seafood, you know, it had calamari for shrimp, baby clams, mussels, with the red sauce, and then the fresh cheese and the fresh dough. Forget about it.
Sounds awesome, man. Forget. Here you go. Forget about it. There we go. I gave you a cannon shot for it. There you go.
Oh, God, I'm a tool.
I can't even close.
I'm such a tool. You're
Portuguese. It's not even fucking close.
I know. Dude, be married to a Sicilian Italian and live with their family for a long time. Then you tell me how you talk.
I think I wouldn't. I keep my mouth shut. They do enough talking, don't they?
You met my wife. You know.
easy.
You know.
Easy. Your wife is a sweetheart. I love her. I think she's fantastic.
My mother-in-law is a doll too, but boy, they'll She's tell right you there. Their way is the only way, and that's it.
That is it. Dude, how many? I'm looking at the time and I'm watching how fast this time is going, and we're just running our mouths and talking shit, which is what the show is about anyway. But you were on the road in your heyday, what, 350 days a year, something like that? Some absurd number? I don't even know.
Not that much, but I would say, I mean, that's like, I would honestly say a good 270. I mean,
X Factor WWE days. 270?
270, yeah.
I mean, that's a lot.
The Aldo Montoya days more.
Really?
The Aldo days.
And you guys don't know Aldo Montoya. Aldo Montoya was his first character in the WWE.
Yes,
that's you know.
WWE, yeah, it was a Power Ranger mask that looked like a jockstrap,
awesome.
And I was like
just awesome
little superhero dude. Yeah, but yeah, we would do shows sometimes Monday through Sunday and twice on Sunday. We'd do a matinee. Like, for example, we'd do a matinee in Hartford, Connecticut, and we'd have the Garden at night.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
Yeah. You'd basically, you wouldn't even change your gear. I would never even change my gear. I would just say I would be in my gear driving, literally. Like, if a cop pulls you over, you're in tights and boots.
I keep the mask on too. Fuck it. Just keep the mask on. Fuck it.
might as well. And boy, did that shit stink after 30 days. Could you imagine? And that was the rib. People don't understand. You're in there wrestling these guys, and if you don't have hygiene, like, it's like, and we're on the road that much, you'd be like in a chin lock, and they're barely holding you. Like, they're not even gripping. They're just there for show, working the gimmick, barely touching you. You're basically sitting down, but man, you smell his elbow pads on your chin, and it's just raunchy as hell. You know, it's like, oh God, you're killing me, dude. Forget
oh my
getting
God.
A head scissors.
Fuck that.
Something like that. You know, but that's the truth. That's how it was, you know. Davey Boy Smith was one of the greatest. God bless him. British Bulldog Davey Boy Smith. He was one of the funniest guys, and he would rib people, which means make jokes, you know, and like kind of torture.
Yeah, of course.
The young guys or whoever. And he goes, he'd call me PJ. PJ, you know, you could do two things. I said, what's that, Davey? Nothing and like it. I said, okay, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But he was a guy. So many good people have gone. God rest his soul. Him, Owen. So many.
You know, I want to ask you about that.
Kurt Hennig.
You know,
Kurt Hennig.
One of my goals of this radio show was, I was going to ask you about this, because one of my goals of this show was, you know, my father died when I was very young. And one of the most vivid memories I have with him is watching old Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling. I grew up in Virginia.
Oh, wow.
And it was one of the things that I vividly remember. I would watch Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling with my dad. And my goal on this show was to, at some point, get the American Dream Dusty Rhodes on, who is one of my favorites in my top five of all time. I think I may have told you this or may not, before I do a live TV segment to this very day, and no one else on the planet that I know will understand this, but you will. To this day, before I go and do a live TV segment, bro, I will go on YouTube and watch old Mid-Atlantic Dusty Rhodes promos. And I'll tell you why. Because it was live. It was off the cuff. And he had that crowd in his fucking hands. And half the time, he wasn't saying anything. It was amazing.
No.
There's a promo where he is being run down by the Four Horsemen right in front of him, running him down. And the promo is 10 minutes long. It's in Orlando, running him down. And they are just, and the crowd is going nuts. The crowd is just getting so worked up. And Dusty's just standing there, his belly hanging out, the cowboy hat, looking like someone punched him in both eyes. Just, he's a mess.
Yep.
And just, they're running him down. They finally give Dusty the mic. He grabs a mic, he looks at the crowd, and just goes, Orlando, I love you. And the place fucking rioted.
Yeah.
Like that.
God, yeah, it almost brought a tear to my eye, dude. That's
amazing.
Tear to my eye. That's the thing.
All that man said was, Orlando, I love you. No one told him to say that. No one scripted that. Nothing.
Nope.
He felt what was happening.
Magic.
He felt what was happening and went with it. And just went with it.
And that's oh.
It's amazing.
Oh, go ahead.
It's amazing. People don't give pro wrestlers enough credit for how they're amazing. You're an amazing talker.
He was ridiculous though, because that's the thing is, you didn't go out there. These guys work so much. That's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Like back when I was talking to you about doing it Monday through Sunday, twice on Sundays.
Yeah.
You know, these guys would just come out, you know, I'm the American Dream, Dustin Rhodes.
Dustin Rhodes, baby, that's
people.
Right.
You know, playing like a monkey.
And that was awesome.
It makes your goose by your hair and your arms.
Yes.
I cried. And I know Dustin is a dear friend of mine. He's in recovery with me. I actually do Wednesday night meetings with him through the WWE on an 800 chat line that we all do, like whoever's interested. And I know the Rhodes family. I got to work with Dusty.
Wow.
Brother, the funniest story ever. Ring of Honor, 2003. It was the biggest main event they've ever had to this day. I think the biggest crowd. And I'm not talking like, you know, I'm not hyping it. It's for real. It's like 4,000 people.
Yeah.
Newark, New Jersey. And Dusty was on my team. And then it was like a War Games kind of gimmick. And when Dusty came out, he just started giving the kids the elbows. And I marked out, I fucking fed him. I'm on your team. I fed him the elbow.
You took him an elbow.
I fed the elbow. I needed the elbow. I mean, I've had me and Terry Funk versus Tommy Dreamer and Dusty Rhodes as a match. Now think about that. Terry Funk and Justin Credible versus Tommy Dreamer and Dusty Rhodes. And I'm not talking about me and Dreamer being the good guys about it. You know, the other two.
Wow.
Yes, you know what I mean? Just being there to play. And Dusty was older. God bless, you know, God rest his soul. God bless him. But just to look at the Dream, just to, you know, in his cowboy boots, his, you know, his jeans, the t-shirt, you know, and just all he had to do was throw that elbow up, dude, we'd clear the ring. You know, he couldn't hit a fly with that fucking elbow, but boy, he had that over and the people loved it, you know? And he was an angel. Like, oh God. Oh wow, you're making me cry almost.
But you know, it's one of those things where
you really have me emotional right now. That means the world to me, you know.
Well, it's one of those things, man, that just a guy like that, and you look at what I do for a living, and just even just, I just think more people need to understand, can respect that. I honestly, bro, I can't do, whenever I'm doing a live TV segment, I will listen to Dusty Rhodes promos and watch Dusty Rhodes promos before I go in, because the way that he could grab a crowd, and he wasn't really even doing anything. The promo where he talked about the sausage maker. And it's winter time, and the cold sausage. It doesn't even make sense.
It's right. It's silly, but
captivating.
You just had me. I literally wiped a tear from my eye just now, and I'm not lying to you.
Well, so you had some.
That what it means to me. It's true, though. It's just, but the thing, and I hate to go back to the professional wrestling sports entertainment business. But that's what lacks and that's what lacks in it today. Not to say that it is not good, because the boys are as good as they've ever been, as far as physical prowess and you know, athleticism. But man, you know, they control it. It's like art. It's like comedy, SNL, improv. Second Night Saints, you know, Second City Saints, I should say.
Second City, right?
You know. Yeah, you're just being able to improv what you're receiving. Sometimes what I did in New York would not work in Philadelphia.
Right.
And unfortunately, these kids are just given a script and they have to say it word for word. And you know,
it's sometimes you look at Dusty Rhodes. Dusty Rhodes wasn't, and watch what I do here with this comparison. Check this out. He wasn't like the big. He was. I mean, listen. He's nowhere near the athlete that we have out there today. When you watch pro wrestling on WWE, it's not even close.
Not even close.
But the way he could talk, the way he could describe it, the way he could bring you in, the way he could make you feel any way that he wanted you to feel, and I think that any good chef who can talk can make you feel any way that he wants you to feel with that food. When I'm doing a live TV segment, I can make you laugh. I can make you feel emotional for me any way that I want to. And I don't mean, I'm not saying that in like a bad way. I'm just saying that's just it's what you can do. And it's by studying guys like this.
I noticed it when we did those little shots for whatever little pilot or whatever we were trying to do or audition.
Right.
And I noticed how much you can, because it was so out of my grasp or out of my, realm of comfortableness, how you commanded everything, and you were running the show, and I'm normally like running the show, and I'm like, I just gotta follow Plum, because he knows what he's doing, and I'm just gonna shut my mouth and feed off of whatever says. And you're right, you're 100% right. And it's about entertainment value, and it is about talking to people in. You know, it's about talking to people in. I watch Zimmerman. Bourdain is one of my favorites. I don't know if you like him or not. I love Anthony Bourdain. I mean, he's a little bit of a
hipster. I did the taste on ABC. I met Bourdain. I did the taste on ABC, the first season of it when he was there.
I love his shit. I don't know if he's a douche or not. He probably is a douche.
He was cool to me.
I love his stuff, though. As an audience member, I'm all in. I'll watch his shit on Netflix. And like all the, you know, like watching all the episodes, like I'm interested and I like to learn, you know. Zimmerman's I like him too, but he's more of a, like, I'm just fat. I'll eat anything, you know?
Yeah.
And I
can
pretty much say what you're going to say. It's gamey, little, you know, it's all the same shit.
Yeah. Right.
Yet everything you're tasting is gamey. And this, well,
listen,
and that and the other
if there was a Ric Flair in the culinary, you know, TV world, I would call it Anthony Bourdain, 100%.
I just love his. He seems like a cool cat, as far as his persona. Like I said, you know, we all have personas. I'm not saying that's who he is,
right.
But he seems like an intellectual, cool cat who I'd like to sit there, smoke a joint with, eat a meal with, and talk with. You know, seriously,
the man's seen everything.
Like, you know. He's just a cool cat. You know, he's an older gentleman who just seems like, you know, of course it's all a work too. You know, nobody's that way, but you know, I respect his work. I really, that's one person I really enjoy more than anybody.
Well, the next time I see you, I'm going to give you a book called Kitchen Confidential, and you have to promise me you'll read it. Cause it's his first real book that he wrote, and it's fucking amazing.
Yeah, I'll definitely do it. I love his stuff. I really truly do. My wife does too. We'll sit here sometimes and watch his shit all day.
Hell yeah, it's good stuff. Now I'll tell you what else you should check out, because if there was a Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream of the culinary world, I would call it Emeril Lagasse. And people think I'm crazy when I say that, but let me tell you something. Don't think for a second this motherfucker can cook. He is a damn good cook, and he can talk him into the building.
Oh, he did.
If you go back and watch his old shows on Food Network, he had a thing called Emeril Live. It was a live show, live cooking show. And let me tell you what, they gave him a live microphone, brother, and he would just go to town. And it was some of the best food television there was. It was amazing.
I believe it.
I'm telling you, go back and watch it. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, I definitely will. It's just the old school shit, right?
Yep, like 10 years ago.
No, I remember. I remember that. He's Portuguese. He would part Portuguese.
Yes, he is. But the way he would talk, and all of a sudden you knew exactly. He would put it, everyone knew what he was talking about. Everybody knew what he's trying to describe. And to me, that is the key to this next step in the culinary business that I think that we're heading towards. And I think it's being able to describe it and being able to talk, because so many chefs aren't talkers. And I think that if we take a page from pro wrestling and put it into the culinary world, I think we can change this entire business. And I think that's the way it's going.
I think it is too. And I think more people than ever are into the culinary world as well. I think it's a huge opportunity. It really is.
Yes.
I'm more interested in the culinary world, although not for a career personally, because I'm not there and probably will never be there. But I'm more interested in that as a viewer than, quite frankly, professional wrestling. You know, I really am. I dig it, dude. I dig it because, you know what, it pleases all of the senses. You get your emotions stirred up, and then you also get to taste it and feel the, you know what I mean? It's like an all around.
Absolutely.
It's something with food that makes you feel, I don't know, man. It's just a great experience. There's nothing like sitting on a table with people you care about, eating food that's amazing. And that whole experience to me is just, you know what I want, man?
I think you nailed it.
To me, what I want right now, and I can't get it over here, man, the only place I can get it, and they do it not too good, is in Newark, New Jersey, where there's a huge Portuguese community.
If you say mozzarella, I'm going to bring Kendo Secure House.
First of all, I say mozzarella.
Yeah, whatever you call it, shit.
Like the roasted baby pigs. They call it Lake Down.
A suckling pig?
Yes, and you roast it, and they have them, and you got to do it in like specific ovens. And they do a black pepper sauce.
Sounds delicious.
With like wine and shit. Oh my God. But nobody does it right. Because the way to do it right is that skin can't be soft. It's got to be crackling.
Crispy, yeah.
You know what I mean? Crispy. God, I want that so bad. And nobody does it right over here. Like my father's in Portugal right now. And he's like calling me, oh, Pedro. Oh, you know, I had this. I'm like, you son of a fucking bitch. I hate you.
Your dad's he's gonna come home and you're gonna hit him with the kendo stick. You can't hit your parents with the kendo stick, dude. Don't do it.
Yeah, unless you have a fucking pig in your fucking in your luggage, I'm gonna hit you.
He's gonna show up at the house. He's like, hey, what's up? You're gonna smack his ass like it's Chris Jericho.
Bang. Yeah. Oh, that's pretty much. Yeah.
That's funny. Oh, great.
I know you know what I'm talking about. Those little suckling.
I used to wrap them in banana leaves in Florida. We'd wrap them in banana leaves and we would make a giant fire and then keep the coals and bury them in the sand over the coals with bamboo sticks. Yeah. With bamboo sticks in the ground so the coals could still get air.
See, that I've never had.
Awesome shit. Man.
They do them in like brick ovens, you know, but I've never had it like that. But I'd love to have it the way you just said. That sounds actually kind of better, to be honest. That sounds really good, dude.
You would have, we take the whole thing out, and you put it on the table, unwrap the banana leaves, and you put, very, very simple, we'd put corn, potatoes, very, very simple, kind of out with it, and everyone would serve almost, it was like kind of similar to a mojito, but it was just rum, soda water, and lime. And, rum, soda water, and mint, and you put it all together, and that's what you would drink while you ate this pig. Oh, it was amazing. As the ocean's crashing behind you. Amazing.
Now I'm hungry, dude. You suck. You really suck. I got nothing.
But you see, we just did there. What we just did there. It wasn't about talking about the flavor of the food and all the stuff. It was painting a picture. Painting a picture of an environment. Awesome. And now that's
beautiful.
That.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, man. And it's beautiful. I mean, God. And it brings people together, too. It's a culinary deal, but it's also a social thing. I don't think enough people these days, I mean, I try as hard as I can in my family to bring people together around a dinner table, you know, and I have more time than normal lately that I can do that. But I think more people should do that. I mean, I think we've lost that in our society where people just, you know, instead of microwave meals or just throwing something out there, you know, or... You know, sometimes my wife used to be a short order cook. You know, this one wants this, this one wants that. I'm like, no. Because we're making this, you know, like we're doing chicken parm tonight. And we're all going to sit down and eat chicken parm. That's it. But, you know, but it's nice because it gathers the family. It's like that. We're so busy. It's that one moment where the meal and that point where we could all sit together instead of, you know, one being on his phone and the other one on the idiot pad or the computer or whatever, Xbox. And I'm guilty of it too sometimes. But I think that's a nice moment to join families together and still recreate that bond that is, I think, really needed in our lives with our children. You know, at least that's how
I think you're
raised,
right.
You know, that's how I was.
I mean,
raised.
I think
mom and mom.
Yeah. You had to have family dinner. You know?
I'm sorry.
No, family dinner. I mean,
yeah. And a lot of people don't do it anymore. You'd be amazed. Mm-mm. You know, I know you're old school. I've met your beautiful wife and your beautiful family, and you guys are wonderful people. But it's like, you know, to me, that's that one moment where you could say, how was your day? How was your day? How was this? How was that? And we're enjoying it over a nice meal.
Right. Eating food.
You know,
it's so important, man.
It could go so many ways. It's not just about taste. It's about culture. It's about life. Is about a lot of things, you know, and I think we lose that in today's hustle and bustle world of just like where we got to go to the next place, you know, what do we got to do next?
It's about looking at the crowd. It's about looking at the group of people that you're with right now, hearing all their stories and listening to them tell everything they've got. And instead of coming back and telling them a story, you just look at them and say, I love you. And the whole crowd goes crazy, just like Dusty Rhodes did in Orlando. That's what it's about.
Amen.
That's what it's about. Really? Dude, so listen, you're going to come, you and your lovely wife, you guys are going to come hang out and see us at the CT Chefs Challenge. I know this is a national show, but, you know, here locally, we have the CT Chefs Challenge coming up. Amazing show. I'm going to have you guys come out. You're going to come see that, which will be a lot of fun. Maybe people could say hi to you if they wanted to. Obviously, I won't let anybody bother you too much. What else you got coming up? You got any more appearances coming up here soon? Even though you're retired?
I got a show this weekend. Actually, not this weekend. My goodness. It's the 15th of September at the old ECW Arena, which is 23rd Rittner in Swanson. The arena we made famous back in the 90s. We're going to have a huge convention, and Tommy Dreamer is running one of his House of Hardcore shows. But for further information, just hit me up on Twitter at PJ Polacco. And my website, www.thejustincredible.com. And check out my YouTube channel, too. Just type in Justin Credible Pro Wrestling 101. A lot of educational wrestling videos. Yeah, a lot of people have been digging them. And actually, I've had a lot of requests to do new ones, so I'm going to try to do those. And that's pretty much it, Plum. You know, it's on and forward we go with this game.
You know, I love talking to you, man, and it's such a cool thing to be able to talk to you and talk about food, just talk about life and talk about these things. Dude, I think you should do some Pro Wrestling 101. I think you should do some in a ring.
Yeah.
And talk about bumping.
Yeah. Well, only if
I'll shoot them for you.
I'll take the bumps.
I'll take the bumps and I'll shoot them. How about that?
Okay, I'll take that.
You know, dude, hey, listen, it's no secret. I don't hide it from anybody. I went to pro wrestling school for 6 months. I could take a bump.
Yeah.
I don't know how many I got left in me, but I could take one. Just one.
I'm sure you could. You could take just one. You know what it is? It's the repetitiveness.
Yep.
And they do it for a reason, to toughen your body up. Because it does toughen.
I spent 2 months just getting my ass kicked. That's all. I was so excited to go to pro wrestling school. Dude, I'm going to pro wrestling school. This would be amazing. I spent 2 months doing fucking Hindu squats and getting my ass kicked.
That's all I did. There you go. There you go, bro. That was me. I did the same thing. And you know what? I wouldn't have the balls to do it again at this age. You know,
hell no.
It was hard as hell.
And the dude was like, yes. The dude was like, okay, you're in a battle royal. I'm like, what? What does that mean? What do I do? What do I do? He's like, hey, you're going to be thrown out right away, so don't worry. I'm like, okay.
I was just such a fan that I kind of just knew what to do. Like, you punch me, I sell. You hit me, I bump. Mm-hmm. You know, I was just like, I was just such a mark.
You didn't know when you were supposed to hit back. That's the problem. I didn't know when to hit back.
Oh, just take it, man.
Well, yeah, just but at some it. Point you got to fire up a little bit. You know, you got to.
That's the thing is people don't realize how competitive it could be. You know, when to take it, when not to take it. You know, I just listen to the people. Like, as a heel, I always know when to come back when it's right. You know, I'll always know when to give it to him, give it to him. It's your time to shine. Bump me around. When it's my time, you're getting your head taken off. That's the bottom line. Bye.
I'll hit your ass with a fucking kendo stick. You can't even see straight.
That's it. I'll bump, punch. I'll bump, drop kick, bump, slam me. I'll bump. Oh, duck your clothesline, kick, hit with the head. Bye. See you.
Tackle, drop down, tackle, clothesline. You know, I still love it. Man.
That's how it is.
I'd do it again in a heartbeat. I fucking love it. It's so much fun.
Oh, it's fun.
So much fun.
Great fun, but
I'm so parallels my food business right now. It's so similar.
Yeah. It very much is.
So listen,
good.
Well, listen, we've just been running our mouths forever. I just saw what time it was, and they're going to cut me off here soon. I could talk to you for fucking hours. You know that.
I know. We're like two girls on the phone.
Yes, we are. If you were sitting here next to me at the bar, we wouldn't be going to bed tonight. We'd be sitting here talking. That sounded weird, but that's okay. That sounded weird. I apologize.
Okay. I'm not homophobic. That's okay.
No, it would be very. I'm very gay. So it would be a whole other world. I'm totally kidding.
Yeah, so am I. Don't worry about it.
Next thing you know, you're pile driving me into the. All right. Anyway, a couple of speed round for you, man. So listen, you've been all over the world traveling, all over the world. Best food in the world you ever had. Where was it? Not in this country.
Oh my God, what a question. Tokyo.
Yeah.
Only because I've been everywhere, but unfortunately a lot of times we ate at hotels, which not necessarily is a bad thing, because we'd stay at good resorts and stuff, but it wasn't the best stuff. Like, you know, England to me, I can't stand the English culinary deal.
Sure.
Just not, you know, in England, it was just not for me. But in Tokyo, it was like squid, octopus, fish. The only thing they didn't have there, we'd go to a place, and I don't know if you're familiar, you might be knowing the wrestling gig, Ribera Steakhouse.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Are you
in Tokyo?
Ribera?
Like that's where they take off.
Yeah.
That's where they take all the, yeah. Yeah.
The jackets. Yeah, and
right.
I went to Ribera, and we had, like, fresh squid, you know, calamari, shrimps, and you know, great sushi, steak. It was just, and you drink those Sapporo beers. I don't know if you're familiar with
Sapporo.
You're familiar with the Sapporos.
Sapporos,
not Sapporo, Sapporo. Oh, my God, I'm so old.
Sapporo.
Sapporo.
they didn't have consonants when you were a kid, right?
I didn't know a lot of. I don't know how present I was back then either, but
there you go.
That was to me. Yeah, you know, it was really cool stuff. You know, and the only other place, and this is not a culinary experience, but there's an infamous photo of me with me, Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, Hunter Hearst Helmsley, Triple H, on my 21st birthday, and Kid, Xbox, on my 21st birthday, somewhere out there. Online of my 21st birthday in Zurich, Switzerland, and they had the best pina coladas, and that's how we celebrated my 21st birthday on the road, and it was the last day of a 30-day tour in Europe. So, and it is
that's amazing.
You probably find it actually.
I've seen that picture. You're a very dapper looking young man there.
You mean I had hair?
Yeah, a little bit, yes.
A little bit, you fucker.
You had like three or four. No, you're doing all right with it.
I had two or three. Dude. I had two or three, and they were on my lip.
There you go. Who's the coolest person in your book that you've ever had a cocktail with?
Oh my God. I really want to answer this properly.
I mean, I'm sure you're done with a number of amazing people. Who is like the top
trying to go outside
in your book? Wrestling or it doesn't matter who, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I'm trying to go outside of it.
I mean, I know there's been a ton, especially traveling all over the world. There's got to be somebody who was just amazing. Like, you walk in, you're with a group, and you're like, oh my God, this person's here, and they're hanging with us.
The coolest person to really drink with, honestly, was The Undertaker.
The Undertaker?
Yeah. As far, like, I was trying to think of, like, somebody out of wrestling, because, like, I've hung out with a couple of musicians and stuff, but I never could say I drank with, I can't claim I drank with them, because I really didn't.
No beers of Billy Corgan.
No, he don't drink. He's straight edge.
Really?
He don't mess around with anything. Okay. But Taker was the coolest cat because was just he was an Elvis man. You know, he really loved Elvis. He was just for whatever you think he is, he was very chill, humble, wonderful human being.
Yeah.
You know, he really was. And he was probably the coolest guy I ever had a drink with. The nicest, and nice too. And, you know, he has his persona and, you know, whatever. But he's, I had more than one. I was just really trying to give you an honest answer. But to be honest, it's probably him. You know, I've had drinks with Lemmy from Motorhead. And
amazing.
And other cats like
rest in peace.
Other cats like that, but I can't. But I can't say that that it was that Taker was the best.
What's Taker drink too. Though?
He was a very. Oh, he was a Jack man.
Was he?
I remember a real quick story because I gotta go.
Please.
But real quick story. One time I was disrespectful as a young boy, and I was not married, by the way. And I guess I don't even remember this, but I Lex Luger, Lex Luger, he was macking on some girl, and she ended up coming on with me to the room. There was heat.
Which means Lex wasn't happy about that.
No. So I walk into the club with me. It was just me and Scott Hall. And all I see is Yokozuna and Mark Undertaker in trench coat leather jackets and their sunglasses in a dark nightclub.
Holy
just
shit.
Saying, looking straight at me like thugs. Come here.
Yeah.
Come on.
They
ordered a huge tray, like maybe 25, 30 jacks. And we had to sit there and drink them. You want to know how sick 20-something-year-old kid's going to get?
Ooh.
So, yeah. Oh, yeah. I got story, dude. I know where the bodies are buried in Stanford.
That's a great story, man. That's a great story, dude.
Yeah, it's funny.
Final question, brother. Best piece of advice you give to young people out there, man? What would you say to them? I mean, you've been all over the world. You were ECW champion. You've done well for yourself. Like, you've seen things. Like, well, what's the best piece of advice you give to somebody who's young?
Never stop believing in yourself. There are times even today, and especially to me right now, I should take my own advice. Never stop believing. Follow your dreams, because you know what? Sometimes your dreams come true. I was so naive to pursue my dreams. I never thought, you know, like today I would be, knowing what I know, for example,
right?
I would be intimidated to follow my dreams. But then I was so young, dumb, that I just followed them. And then, and I went at it full steam ahead. And I just say, never stop following your dreams, because if you work at it hard enough, you could get it. It sounds cliche. You know, but again, sometimes that being naive and just really working as hard as you can will take you where you want to be. You know, I like I said, if I knew what I knew today, I would have never gone on that journey, because I would have known, I would have been so skeptical, like, I'm never going to make it. Oh, this guy's better. That guy's better. I just did it. I just did it and put my heart into it. So just don't stop believing in yourself, you know, and just follow your heart. Be educated as you can. And all I could say is have a backup plan too. That's the only thing I regret, is not having a backup plan
right
in my life. But other than that, man, just You know, you can accomplish anything. It takes everything. It takes luck, timing, but it definitely takes skill. And it all comes together, hopefully, someday. You know what I mean?
Well, the good news is, man, is that there's still a lot of your story to be written. So you can write that story yourself. Bro, I love talking to you. You know that. I'm like a virus. I'm like a plague. I don't go away. You know that. I'll show back up randomly.
I love you. Pleasure's mine to spend some time with you and catch up and talk to the followers and the listeners of this program. It's awesome. It's my pleasure.
And dude, this fine program has grown leaps and bounds since the last time you were on. So cool. I love having you on. You have an open door policy. You are always welcome here, my friend. And I look forward to the future, bro. And I can't thank you enough for your time tonight. Seriously, it's been a lot of fun talking to you, catching up. You're awesome.
Thank you, Chef. You're awesome too, brother. Thank you. It's my pleasure. Thank you guys for listening.
My man, that's the amazing, the super cool, the one and only Justin Credible. We'll see him on down the road. Brother, I'll holler at you soon, all right?
Love you, Plum.
See you, buddy. Be good. There he goes, guys. That's Justin Credible, former ECW heavyweight champion, WWE hardcore champion. That dude's got stories for freaking days. We went a little long tonight. I couldn't help it because I just love talking to him. He's such a good dude. He's such a real guy. How about that? I made the former ECW champion cry, huh? How about that? I brought a tear to his eye. Well, it's the truth. Let me tell you what, if you haven't done it yet and you are doing live television, you're doing interviews, you're a chef, maybe you're doing local TV, I highly recommend you check out some old Dusty Rhodes promos. They are amazing. Ladies and gentlemen, that story was amazing. That whole interview was amazing. I just love hanging out and talking to that guy. I could talk forever. I was trying to keep it towards food, but the wrestling fan in me can't help it. So, ladies and gentlemen, here we go. You ready? Next week is the first Monday Night Football for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So we will be doing a Tuesday night show because I have to watch it. I'm sorry. I love you, but I'm sorry. I got to watch football. So a Tuesday night show, that's what we're going to have to do. But we will see you then. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, my name is Chef Plum. Remember, food is one of the most important things that we have in life. Everything important in life happens around food. Let's make sure we give the time that it deserves. And I'll see you guys next week. Take care.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.